Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. I guess my opening monologue didn't play, but hey, this is Kenny Hodge. Sorry for a little slow start. This is Ken Hodge, branch president of Columbus, Ohio, with a special podcast this evening pertaining to a situation that was brought to my attention. Now, I got to tell you, I'm going to start, and I hope the sister who brought it to my attention joins us tonight. But if not, I'm still going to get the message out there. And what I'm going to start with is I received a post on Facebook from a mail handler out of Tennessee. And I'm going to read that post, and then we're going to talk about it because it's very frightening. Mail handlers, my real diehards, please read this as I am deeply troubled, but more angry than sad. If you had a coworker that told your frontline supervisor she took 80 pills trying to end her life, told the same supervisor she was thinking about shooting herself, and within days your coworker ended up dead with a gunshot, self-inflicted, help me understand how in the blank can the supervisor share in the rumor mill she had knowledge of this employee being troubled and you did blank nothing, except share that you had firsthand knowledge. I hope the USPS is monitoring this site because they blank failed miserably. The SDO, the SDO would know enough not to open up to knowing about when they got finished with the SDO. So we have this Hello. This situation, and I want to say to you, I was really saddened by it. In short, what happened? Now, again, you got to understand, when I podcast or when I provide platforms for individuals to speak, we speak from our own perspective. I'm not a court of law. Okay, I don't need witness statements and documents. We just speak about those things that affect other mail handlers. So when we speak about those things that affect other mail handlers, this is one of them. And it appears to me, I have the sister trying to log in now, but it appears to me that before we even get into the actual case of what's going on, how much training are supervisors given in suicide prevention? You see, this isn't a bash the post office right now. It's not a bash the post office. This is what I would consider a public health issue. Because let me tell you something. I am a trained military instructor. Every class we teach, all instructors in the United States Army these days are trained on suicide prevention. And again, while you may not be able to stop everyone who has suicidal thoughts or suicidal tendencies, those that give you the verbal cry outs, those people can be saved. And if you are a federal employee, and particularly a boss, then you have to know, or you have to understand, that you have a responsibility to know how to cope with suicide prevention. Hey, good evening, sister. How you doing this evening?
I am okay. How about you, brother?
I am great, and we are live on Hodge to Hodge podcast. I was just advising our audience just some suicide preventions. I didn't touch the issue because I wanted you to expound on that when we talk. But again, we're here tonight because we're talking about suicide prevention, more so that there was an incident that took place that I'm going to step back and let the sister have the mic. So what area are you talking about, sister?
Well, we're in Memphis, Tennessee, and unlike you, I guess the whole thing encompasses knowing the proper, you know, the trying to make positive moves. Something, it's not whether somebody did something right or wrong, but at least know something has to be done. It can't go ignored, you know.
Exactly.
We talk about accountability, and really that's kind of a humanity type issue. It's, management has a responsibility to make sure that we have a safe and productive work environment, just as it is for us. But when it comes down, we're going to look at to talk about the issue, that firsthand, frontline supervisor is going to be held, you know, to ask a question, you know, to address the matter. That's who they're going to look at. And to not
that's who they should look at, because, again, that frontline supervisor, that's the person that's going to have the most direct contact with an employee. That's the person who has the best opportunity to learn the idiosyncrasies of an employee, so they can tell if something's not center that they should be able to address it. So yeah, that frontline supervisor is definitely the person we want to talk to.
I spoke with a medical provider today about my concern and how I wanted to share with the group, and since you do the live podcast, I thought it would be a good idea. We didn't get a chance to have detailed, but she said to me that the first thing, the best thing to do for anybody is to contact the police. That's what in the medical field they are trained to do. If someone's putting themselves in harm's way or, you know, intending to harm somebody. Now, you're talking about casual conversation. Oh, I'm so miserable. I wish I could die. Well, no, you don't call the police. But if you know somebody told you, I took 80 pills and that's an attempt. That's an attempt on somebody, on that individual's life. So you need to know the difference in, you know, what's reality and what could be just casual talk. That right there was a clear indicator. And I'm still saying, not to say what that supervisor should have done or could have done, but know something has to be done.
And I agree with you. So. And I agree with you 1,000% on that. And again, as we go a little deeper into this issue, we're probably going to find that they're not trained or equipped to deal with suicide prevention. And again, that's something that we hope as a result of this podcast, because again, this situation that we're going to go into, it's not going to stop with this podcast tonight.
No.
I'm going to be on the bandwagon also as far as making sure we can prevent this type of situation from happening again. And from what I understand, possibly could have been prevented. You know what, sister? Let me ask you a question. Can you tell me about the person we're talking about? She was a brand new employee, old employee, older employee.
She was a veteran employee. She had on the upside of probably nearly 40 years, if not 40. I'm going to say, I know we discussed her 38th anniversary. I don't know how long ago. So She should have had at least 40 years of service. Now, my other concern is, why hasn't postal management offered grief counseling? You got a workforce that you got to keep motivated, along with feeling safe to even be there. I shared with you about another incident that occurred a couple of years ago with an employee holding a knife, threatening to cut his own throat. Okay. No, we're not privy to his private medical. He doesn't have to. His medical clearance doesn't have to come before. But what have you done to make your workforce feel like it's okay, you know. Why? How do we know that it didn't turn from suicidal tendencies to homicidal tendencies? You did nothing to offer us any comfort. Now everybody's just looking at, you know, that's not good. That's not good, you know. And I'm still, again, something has to be done. It's only so much can be swept under the rug, and you know, everything is sticking out.
And you're right. And when we start sweeping things under the rug, what happens is the rug starts to get lumpy, and it gets hard to walk on. So let's
and
go ahead
visible.
Back.
It's visible. Yeah.
Oh, it's very visible. But you know, if I'm sweeping it under the rug, really, I don't care anyway. So when they start sweeping
right.
under the rug, they don't really care about the visibility. But okay, let's get back to the young lady at work. So she 40-year veteran, and again, well, let's 40? Just say 38. At least 30 plus mm-hmm. year veteran. So by all means, she should have been protected and valued. But my question is, so are we saying, in fact, go ahead and tell me what happened in your words.
Well, you know, the lady had, the supervisor expressed in a group setting that she had discussed with her. This was after the passing of this employee. She said she told me she had taken ADP. I don't like the casual conversation on the workroom floor. That's part of that lack of training that we really need to get to the core of. That's critical as well. But she's not the fact that you shared it on the workroom floor after the fact, but you didn't even bother to, you know, what did you do? My concern is, what did you do when you found out, there was an attempt on your life? You said you took 80 pills and you slept through it. She talked about passing out. She did go into detail about her telling, you know, what that phase was like. Then she also shared with the group that she told her she thought about shooting herself, just putting a bullet in her chest. Okay, well, that's what happened. You know, she was shot. But I don't understand. You were excited to share that, but where was the excitement and your adrenaline when she was actually expressing that? This is somebody that you see, and I'm going to go as far as to say, because I've seen this myself firsthand, you know that this is a troubled individual, you know. You know this. I've heard the talk management say things. I'm no longer operating in a capacity of a steward, but I'm all forever going to advocate for what's right. But to leave somebody, I don't care if she had 40 years of service or 4 days, she was an employee, and somebody had knowledge that she was having some concerns. And they have just dehumanized us to the degree that we don't take anything seriously. You know,
so,
and I hate
so
to say.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So a quick recap so far. So I want to make sure all the listeners understand. There was an employee in your area who told a supervisor that they took 80 pills trying to kill themselves, and they thought of shooting themselves. And at no point in time did postal management intervene or do anything other than hear what she said and do nothing about it. Is that what we're saying?
Did nothing about it, but shared that you knew. You know, she shared it with you. You shared that much.
So she knows. So we're certain that the supervisor knew what was going on.
Right.
Wow.
Notified the plant manager or somebody. You got to. I mean, if you don't know what to do, you got to know it's bigger than you. Take it to the next step. Do something. And I would hate to really, you know, it's almost to the point you hate to turn the rocks over because you know what's under there. But you got, there's a possibility. What if the plant manager knew? She may have known. We dealing with some strange situations, Brother Hodge. And I mean 30 years of service, 30 plus. And I'm seeing a postal service I've never seen before. You know, and I, as branch president, I talked a lot about postal pride. That's all we had left. Leave us that, you know, but I don't know. But
well,
I do, the one thing I do want, go ahead.
Once you contacted me, what I did was I had a conversation with OSHA today. I went and talked to some legal lawyers in reference to, and again, only you and I spoke, so I spoke to them in reference to what you and I spoke about. So I just want to read, some from a NASA law review real quick, and then we can continue. As the people in the world, we face difficult situations all the time. If someone seems sad or depressed, we may want to help, but not know how. When it's your employee who's going through tough times, you may have legal concerns to worry about too. It's good to be prepared as possible beforehand. For example, let's imagine that one of your employees seems depressed and start making comments around the workplace about hurting himself or herself. A condition causing an employee to become suicidal, it may be covered under the Americans with Disability Act, the ADA. But what's most important that I read from this review and two other research suicide prevention line is the first thing to do is to have a private conversation with the employee. Do not ask if the employee has a medical condition. Go ahead, sis.
That's almost a no-brainer, you know.
You couldn't tell me anything that devastating and I do nothing about it. I'm just sorry. That's got to be weighing on that supervisor's mind a little bit as far as she told you and you did nothing. Now, again, I don't support or try to protect supervisor in any shape, form, or fashion. But what I will say is, this issue is larger than that supervisor.
It's a greater picture. You are absolutely right, and I'm not. And it's that, you know, and know the difference in awareness. It's not an assault. It's not an attack. Something has to be done, because not only, like I told you, I shared with you about the visit paid to my home about a frivolous issue. What do you do about the real concerns? Nothing. You know,
Now, I believe that, this is just my belief. I believe that the reason there's no grief counseling being offered in your plant is because if they brought grief counseling in, the agency may look at that as, we have an issue in this.
You got a part, right.
Yeah, we got a part in this. So rather than... Again, stop the bleeding. We're going to continue to let it go and hope it never comes and drips back on us. That's what I'm thinking. Because, if the agency knew that one of their managers, one of their supervisors, was aware of this type of behavior from an employee and did nothing, I got to believe that the agency would be pretty upset with that supervisor. And when I say upset, I mean, maybe some relocation and a whole lot of retraining.
Exactly. We got to hire you. We good at how they do it.
They become very masterful at that art of moving you around. Go ahead.
I want you to, that article that you just read from, please share that with me, because I want to get it in my building. Especially in my building, since it has occurred in my building, but we need to get some stuff circulated. We need to network across the states. You know, I've been keeping up with you for about 2 years now, and I do hope that Cincinnati is hearing you, because Memphis, I got Memphis wide open. Just, you know, I make them. Read with me at breaks. They don't get peace with me around. So we do union all day.
I'm a firm believer in such.
share this, and then I'm gonna let you finish. But
okay.
I've also noticed that you also supervise. That's not the worst thing in the world. They don't understand the value in that. The biggest threat with union people changing over, doing management or whatever, is that you turn around and use those same tactics that you fought against. That's a problem. Now, if you take somebody that's willing to say, okay, I'm going to be management, but we still got to abide by the collective bargaining agreement. That's what you want. That's what you want. You don't want somebody that's, you know, you can't separate your friends from business, you know. And that's a heavy load to bear, but it's an easy job. Because I know from experience that you can rest at night. When you know you did what the books say do, you can sleep behind that. That other stuff is not healthy. But we're going to continue. It's not going to end here. As a matter of fact, I'm eager to get busy and do some work on this side since get the post about speaking with OSHA.
Yes.
I got some more information from, and I got it written down. I didn't grab it out of the vehicle, but she gave me a list of agencies to contact about it, and I wrote them down, and I'm going to share them with you when I get my stuff in order.
Okay. But,
and,
you know,
we will
definitely stay in touch, my sister. Just already know that. But, you know, when we talk about this issue, again, we have to draw it back to suicide prevention. And again,
suicide prevention.
I work in a post office, so this is why this particular situation makes my podcast. But we have to train ourselves. And when I say ourselves,
right,
even as employees or as stewards also, because I moved from the position that management is not going to do the right thing. I'm sorry.
Right.
They're not going to do the right thing. So we have to educate ourselves as much as possible so that when they don't do the right thing, we know enough to hold them accountable.
Hold them accountable. That's what it's about.
And I want to read to you a couple of warning signs of suicide for the audience tonight.
Okay.
When you hear people talking about wanting to die, looking for a way to kill oneself, talking about feeling hopeless or having no purpose, talking about feeling trapped or in unbearable pain, talking about burden to others, increasing the use of alcohol or drugs, acting anxious, agitated, or reckless, sleeping too little or too much, withdrawing or feeling isolated, showing rage, or talking about seeking revenge. Now, again, when you start to see these signs in people, again, I would hope that the agency would train, would provide suicide prevention training to their supervisors and all the rest of their managers. But
right.
It's critical. It's very critical in today's environment. And when you start to see some of those signs, what we call warning signs of suicide, what you want to do, and again, I teach suicide prevention, okay, for the military. One of the things that you want to do is you never leave that person alone.
Alone.
From the time you say, and for example, let's take our case here. If I was that person who another employee came to me and said, I just took 80 pills and I want to kill myself. Well, let me tell you something, and partly because of my military background, from that point on, until I get you somewhere safe and comfortable,
safe.
I'm not going to leave
you.
How could you? Because that's a verbal cry for help.
Right.
We missed an opportunity here. Somebody came and told me I'm going to hurt myself, and I did nothing, and then that person hurt themselves. We missed an opportunity to save a life.
Right. It's like an epidemic. Now you got to hurt yourself because you didn't cover yourself.
Yes.
You got to cover yourself while you covering you and that party when you do something. And that's, like you said, the first thing is to not leave that person alone. I'm going to turn you over in the hands of anybody. Look, I got to, if I got to go get me some clothes, if I got to, whatever it is I got to do, you got to understand, you stuck with me now. You should not have told me, because I believe you, and I'm going to take you at your word, and we're going to make sure that we get some help. Not just you, I need some help too now. I need some help to help.
And that's a very astute point there, sister, because think about this. If my friend, if my friend came to me and said to me, well, let's not even make it a friend. If anyone came to me and told me, I got a gun, I'm thinking of blowing my head off. Well, I just took 80 pills. Now, once again, I know that's you who took the medicine or who took the pills in order to hurt themselves, but you just dropped all that on me? Now, I'm going to need a minute, after we get you situated, I'm going to need a minute, too. But, you know, like I said, I really do hope that when the postal management hear this podcast, because they listen, when they hear this podcast, I hope that instead of them saying, here they go again trying to give the post office a black eye, I hope they say,
it's
you know what?
It's not opportunity for us to join hands and do a project.
Not at all. I hope they look at it and say, you know what? That is a real issue, and we got to do something about it.
It is. And we got to do it together, because it's not just craft that will, you know, be in this mindset. You got hurting managers as well. We all human beings. It's an issue of humanity now. So let's do the humane thing. Let's see about each other. How about I see about you and you see about me? We'll see about each other.
That sounds too much like a perfect work environment. That sounds too much like a perfect world. But you know what? Somebody got to go. Somebody has to get this started because, again, we're going to talk about this for a little while. And if we don't do anything about it, we'll be having this conversation again in another year or two. And let me tell you something,
Brother Hart. You have my commitment that I will not go cold in the South Side. I'm going to work. Whole lot to do.
Go ahead, sister.
We need to know what's going on not just in our union, but, you know, even when, I'm going to take it back to when they started mailing the anthrax, you know. The people don't understand how critical our job is in today's world. How are these bombs getting where they're supposed to go? Through the mail. It's us. My mind was racing. I'm like, okay, they want to pretend that they're trying to take care of the problem. But see, my mind says, that anthrax came in on some equipment. Did they take the equipment out of circulation? Is the trailer out of circulation? No, y'all didn't do all of that. We got to get to the core of the problem. And together, not just you and me, it's not our problem. It's not just our problem. It's a universal problem. Yeah.
But you know one thing I find about universal problems? When people in the universe understand that there will be somebody who champions that fight, there'll be somebody who don't mind making a rally call. People will get behind, and we can further our progress. But again, I think a lot of what we're lacking, and we need more of, we have it, we just don't have more of it, is we need more people that want to step up and say, you know what? I don't care that this has been going on for 10 years. It's wrong, and we're going to change it.
Wrong. It's wrong. Right. Right.
And again, when we reach that caliber of person, and again, I'm hoping to see that caliber of person start springing up all over our unions. Because management on its own.
And I came in on the tail end of some unity and strength. I did. And they left me with some very valuable tools to work with. When they all of the people that I worked with carried their collective bargaining agreement in their apron pocket. That's how committed they were to doing, you know, making sure that, you know, the contract wasn't violated. They were serious. And I knew nothing about a rally. We going to a rally? For real? We wearing T-shirts? And we would wrap around a headquarters three or four deep. I don't see it, and I would love to see it again. But we
you know what? Like I said, I know we got that kind of union motivation and inspiration. Mm-hmm. We just got to find a way to tap into it. I know
it's there.
I know it's there.
It's there. It's there. Every time I hear, every time I read a post or see a podcast, I say, still some hope. Y'all, look, we still got hope.
Oh, you know, I'm on the battlefield. I'm one of them old soldiers. I don't quit till the war is over. You know, speaking metaphorically. But again, spending all those years in management that I spent in management, I try to tell my craft people, and I'm not turning this into a podcast about me, but I try to tell my craft people, I've been at the table writing most of the rules that you comply to. You think I don't know inside and out? You think I don't know when they're violated? So rather than turning away, if you turn into me, because again, what I have, I'll share with everybody. And that's why we're having this podcast tonight. When I told people we're podcasting about something down in Memphis, first comment I got was, did you transfer? No, I don't have to transfer.
Believe it or not, tell Naked Cop, they will probably find a Memphis MVS somewhere on your yard. I know we got some Cincinnati MVS.
So,
but we are truly, we got to understand the power that we carry. You know, it's like, I mean, they vastly outnumbered, and it's not a war. We are this, and, you know, I was in my, when I was vice president, I made sure I would try to end all of my labor management meetings on a positive note. And the message was always, we still play for the same team because we work for the same company, you know. So we need y'all. Y'all need us. What's the problem? We can figure out how to make it work. You know, this thing about this power and they, you know, this feeling of authority, I don't know what it does, because I'm in charge of me, but I don't, that's it.
Let me ask you a question. We went off subject for a minute. We're going to come back. What is the post office now saying, or are they saying anything to the employees in the facility where this happened? They're just like, okay, just another death that had nothing to do with us?
Let me show you how much I know my plant. I'm expecting something to pop up this week. No, nothing has been said. I reached out to a few people before. That's why I was kind of late calling you tonight. I was still making some last minute progress, but you know, needless to say, I did tell you that I'm not currently on the clock. But it's still part of me. These are people that I know. These people, you know. So no, it's not that I'm safe away from it, because when I'm getting phone calls, and I hear the weariness and trouble in their voice. And I'm not a favorite, and it's okay. You don't have to like me. You don't even have to hear me. But if I'm putting you on alert, pay attention. You know, everything has some value. You know, one man's trash is another's treasure. They don't understand that. When they decide that they want to shelf or bench an employee and they can ice, you hadn't made a problem go away. You know, so what we're going to do, I know I'm going to work hard. You gave the platform. I appreciate you, Brother Hodge. And we, if you can get me some of those articles you have, and I love to do research myself. And I got some work I'm going to do, and I'm going to share and see if we can get it in our building and branches. Sometimes, a lot of times, people idea, you know, they don't want to play, but it's not about that. This is serious.
And the way we are trying to address this, again, It's about informing and educating. Because let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. If the post office is found to be liable to a foreseeable incident, not a projected one, based on that conversation, then they're going to be held accountable for what it is they do.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did say that I'm going to do is I'm going to share this, what we talked about on this podcast, with some legal professors.
Mm-hmm.
And if they feel that there's some culpability there or some other issues there, then they can contact that family. And did she leave behind a family?
Yes, she did. She has, she has family.
See, again, so what's wrong is wrong. And if we're going to correct this, then we have to correct this. But I hope the post office would look at this situation and make a determination on some kind of grief relief to that family. If they can understand that you had a part in this, you could have saved a life based on what I'm hearing. You could have saved a life, and you have to feel that. And if you understand that a mistake was made, lack of training, whatever you want to count it to, and then you make some kind of compensation in addition to providing additional training to your staff so that you show the rest of the workforce that what happened was unfortunate, but we are now in reactive mode and we're not going to allow that to happen again, or we're going to minimize the possibility of it happening again.
Right.
And then you can still have your workforce have a little honor in being a postal employee.
Okay, and you're absolutely right. Last thing I want to share is that one of the former stewards had shared with me a form that he ran across on the Department of Labor website. It is a CA-40. CA-40 instructions, CA-40-41, but it's those two numbers, 40-41. It's called a FICA gratuity. That's up to $100,000 payable to any federal employee who loses his or her life due to, you know, violence in the workplace. My biggest thing was these demolition projects, and then we have this wave of cancer, and we lose 10 or 12 people isolated, you know, concentrated in one area, and nobody's really, I mean, they see it, and it's not just me talking. I picked up on it from union leaders. Like, well, why didn't somebody, well, let's pick this up and run with it. One thing I know for certain, and I'm going to openly say this, is that when you about to make something go viral, something of grave importance, they will put you under attack. I know. I'm speaking from personal experience. So I don't want to disappear, Brother Hodge. You got to be looking for me. We got some words to share. We got some wisdom to share. And there's something that has to be done. And we're going to do our very best. Did I lose you, Brother Hodge?
Are you still there? Okay. Yeah, she must have dropped her call there. But listen, one of the things that we are trying to do and we're trying to share is that we're pointing fingers, but not in a bad way, in a positive way. Stay with me while I have a little wordplay. What we're saying is we believe the post office was wrong for not taking an action or held some kind of or played some kind of role in the this person not getting any help. Hello, how you doing, Colin? So we're back?
Yeah.
Okay, we got it. All right, no problem. Yeah, what I was saying is the way we're trying to approach this issue is in a manner of, listen, something's wrong and we have to fix it. Because let me tell you, we can throw bricks, we can make noise, we can march with signs, but we can't bring that person back. What we can do is try to make sure that this don't happen again.
Exactly, and give it our very best. That's all we can do. That can be our commitment. I mean, and it's not like it's not just us. It's got to be everybody can play a role. Everybody has a role to play. So let's do our part. That's all we got to do.
I'm looking at this CA-40 right now while we're talking, sister.
All right.
Yeah, and we got this. A new provision creates a death gratuity for federal employees by authorizing U.S. Postal Service to pay up to $100,000 to the survivor of an employee who dies of injuries occurred in connection with an employee service. Now, again, they're probably going to say, well, the injury wasn't connected. But I'm sure the fact that that supervisor was told and did nothing about it is probably going to give
a problem.
Something. Yeah. It's going to be a problem for them. It's going to be a problem
for them. Problem.
And again, they need to own up to that problem, and let's not hide behind legal mumbo-jumbo.
Right. I mean,
and make some kind of compensation to that family and make sure that there's training provided to all supervisors, not just in Memphis, all over the United States. Make sure everybody gets training on this because, again, in today's environment with the millennial workforce and so many different aspects of that complicate the work environment, or not complicate, complement, I'm sorry, the work environment, supervisors today have to be trained in more than just disrespecting people. You know, they got to be trained in more than, I'm the boss, do what I told you to do.
Yeah, and hold the radio, dude. I got a question, though. Supervisors hold your radio at, like, a 45-degree angle, because I... You know, it's like 12 inches precisely away from the head at a 45 degree angle. I'm like, is that in time?
But you know what? Again, I go hard on the supervisor, but I want everybody to always understand, again, being former postal management, that responsibility lies with postal headquarters, man. Let's cut it like it is. Because, again, if they would insist that the managers receive better training, then something like this would have been avoided.
Right.
But you know what? They're going to maybe talk about it. But I would be so impressed if Megan would do something to say, listen, it's a tragedy. I recognize it. They're not going to own up to any part of it. But at least
they
provide some kind of training so the rest of the workforce would know. They really know they had a part in that. They're not admitting it, but at least they're trying to stop it from happening again. Again, they could get mileage out of that, but what they're going to do is status quo. That's not our issue, and we're going to keep moving forward.
Right, and they're going to look at it like we both know, you know, it's starting trouble. It's not trouble. These are things that need to be shared, need to be addressed, and we need to be point on with addressing it. It's not a union crusade, you know. This is real human lives. We real casualties, and they don't understand, you know.
Because if a mail handler reported to a supervisor, I took 80 pills, I want to kill myself or maybe do harm to somebody else, again, in this case, it's a mail handler. But if it was a clerk, the same thing would happen. If it was a maintenance person,
the same
thing would have happened.
This is a car. This is a car.
Yeah. Yes. What craft would have had that situation, if that same supervisor was the initial point of contact, the same results would have came.
Right.
Would have ended up with a life being lost. And I'm saying to the Postal Service, again, we can do better. And again, I know the Postal Service knows they can do better. And I hope they just take the road to want to do better and spend some of that money they have, or they say we don't have, on training their people.
Training instead of litigating, do some training.
But, you
start
know,
with the basics. Do some training. Yeah.
If they you know what? If they actually did quality training, they wouldn't have to spend nearly as much money in litigating.
No. I mean, if they want to know where the money is, look at the EEOs and the MSPBs and the grievances that you lose, and you look at the money you throw away. We could go on and on with this.
You know what? I can see right now that you and I are probably going to have to start us our own little weekly podcast, because tonight I wanted to talk about that mistreatment mishandling of that vital information the supervisor had and did nothing with, and ended up one of our mail handlers took their lives. So that was what tonight was about. But I wanted to say to you, sister, just from talking to you tonight, you and I probably going to have to do a weekly podcast because I feel the same type of energy. Yeah, and again, when male healers know that somebody's out there championing the cause, I'm sorry. I believe that most of them will get behind the cause. Yeah. I really do.
And I will tell you, I'm going to tell you again, Brother Hodge, this is a clerk. This is my coworker, though. You know, we work on the same work with a worker. It doesn't matter what craft that she was.
You're right.
And
you're 100%
right. It's not a male handler clerk issue. We're talking about taking care of the people. So,
think about this, sister. Think about this for a minute. Here we are. Branch presidents, neither one of us are in office. And we're holding a podcast. Wait a minute. It gets better. Branch presidents, neither one of us are in office. Male handler branch president. But we're here holding a podcast for a clerk because it's human life that we're concerned with.
I don't know what type of reputation you built for yourself. I know. I'm crazy. Crazy work for me, though. I mean, it's perfect.
Crazy work for you. but you know what, though? When we make it soup, we need a bunch of ingredients. I don't want
That's
all
it.
This.
You put everything.
I don't want all this.
Kitchen sink. Everything.
Yeah. I want a bunch
Nothing
of
bland about this thing.
But
Brother
know,
Hodge,
I'm gonna be curious to see what the APW, because I want to tell you, sisters, just to show you how engrossed I was with just the issue. Right up until you said that, all this time I really thought we were talking about a male hammer.
I'm passionate.
It don't matter because they work for the post office.
It does not matter.
Okay?
Right.
So it doesn't matter. But I'm just saying, and again, I think that's absolutely wonderful, man, that we can take the time out, again, to address something that's not in our craft. So if we can take time to address something not in our craft, I know we go pretty hard on those issues that are in our craft. Yes, we can.
Well, we don't have the fiduciary responsibility, which we can give it to the officers now. We can make them to have the officers do it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you took over.
Yeah, but in fact, you know what? Again, I'm going to probably contact some people in the APWU down in the southern region, and I'm going to send them this podcast also. Because again, we put it on the table, but again, we may have some other folks out there want to fight just as hard and may want to pick this up and run with this also. So now you got male handlers and clerk champion and issue.
Right.
Yeah, male handlers, male handler unions. Well, male handlers and clerks. I want to say unions champion an issue about postal employees. And again, there's a true definition and there's a true word union. Just coming together for a cause.
That's it.
Yeah, but I can definitely tell. We're going to have to talk offline because I don't know why. I'm not clairvoyant. I don't have a crystal ball. But for some reason, I see a whole lot of contract training.
I see a lot of stuff on the horizon.
I see us getting together doing some contract training, sis. I see it coming.
I'm game. I'm always willing to learn something new.
and again, I'm always willing to learn and teach. So we're going to have to get together. But hey, as we start to bring this podcast here to a close today, I initially started out thinking that it was a mail handler, but I got even more intrigued finding out it's a clerk because, again, it goes to show leadership transcends, man. I mean, it doesn't matter in this case that it's not somebody. It's not a dues-paying member for me, so to speak, for the mail handlers.
Right.
It's just a postal employee who is wrong, and we have a platform. And we're like, remember that little song back in the day? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
Let it shine,
We
can do that now.
That's what we're going to do, sis. That's what we're going to do. I hope we excite. I hope we invigorate. I hope we wake up some mail handlers.
Right. And I know that the people are gonna listen, but They got to break away from this fear. I don't know what the fear of the unknown really is with a lot of, you know, just stepping into that role, because I did express to you I wasn't a steward very long. I am a long-standing seasoned employee. However, I am one that, look, you know, I told you about that pen and paper. I believe
yes.
In it.
Okay.
So, but we're going to keep us safe. That's exactly
that's what it
we
does.
Always refer to what's in writing. That's it.
Most of the times. That's going to be, if it's in writing, it's clearly, it's better to, it's easier to define, so to speak.
Oh,
hey, but listen, sister.
Look.
Go ahead.
I earned a new title, too. I'm the document specialist. This is a clear forgery. You see, this is a copy of a document. Why, when I stack them on top of each other, they don't line up? This is not right. Come on now.
Oh,
but hard.
Yes,
we gonna have to.
Yes, we are.
We're gonna conduct ourselves a little more orderly.
No, we're not.
Okay, I'm following you.
Okay, because you know what? Sometimes we need that. We need that levity again as we attempt to again just to wake people up, man, and understand.
Right.
Just know. Excuse me. I want to get people more involved in the politics of union business. I want us to stop.
Well, I'm gonna,
go ahead, sis.
Okay. What I'm going to do, I am in contact with, I think he is their local president now. I'm going to send him a letter along with our plant manager and see where they are. I'm going to make sure that I share with you. We're going to share it with postal workers.
Right.
There need to be communication, the bridges. We need to, because we don't know. You know, we
That's
know
right.
that it happened in Memphis. We don't know where it could take place. It could occur in some small station with two employees. We don't know.
And you
but
know, this is what.
Whatever it is.
This is why I tell people I like doing this podcast, because, again, had you and I not spoken, nobody up this way in Ohio Midwest knows what happened in Tennessee. If you knew that person personally, but now you understand that there was a suicide, and it probably could have been avoided. Again, how? If you had personnel trained on how to recognize and then attack that situation, and just walking off and getting with your friends, having casual conversation, I knew this, I knew that. No, that's not the way.
Yeah. That, I think, within itself kind of ignited something in me, and I'm like, no, she got to know. Because I'm having problems dealing with her. She's my immediate supervisor now. And no, we don't have a good history. We only became decent with one another when I was no longer representing. But
she
didn't go away. I'm still here. I'm still me. It's not my issue. It is not personally, but we got a problem.
If you've got a voice, let it be heard. And if we can raise our voices on any injustice in the Postal Service, which where we work, again, I'm always down for that. And I'm always willing to provide a platform. And I tell the listeners, listen, you heard one side of a story tonight. As with anything else, and we try to let you in on our perspective on how we view what happened. Now, again, if you talk to the post office, they're probably going to give you a completely different story. And I would expect that. But the bottom line is there was a tragedy that possibly could have been avoided. And let's not lose sight of that, because who's right or who's wrong may get lost in all the litigation.
Exactly.
But can we stop it from happening again?
Right. Trying not to be held accountable for something.
Right.
We're talking about lies. We're not talking about who spilled the milk on the floor, you know.
You're right. We're talking about something that when it's lost, we can't get that back.
We can't get it back, right. So, but we're going to keep it going.
Let me tell you something. I really appreciate this hour talking with you tonight. And I know that it's probably going to be the springboard to a lot of podcast training that we can engage in. Again, just waking members up, bringing out our contract, reading out of our contract, trying to give an understanding out of our contract. And again, when we do train, it's all contractual training. And folks, if it's not being provided where you are, it's going to be provided on one of these postal podcasts. I'm pretty much assuring you that.
Right. Thank you. That's all we need.
That's all.
And
that's
some
it.
People
again,
willing
we need
to take the time, invest the time. Yeah.
And I'm going to invest the time. I got about 9 more work years, good work years in me, and all of those are dedicated to the mail handler craft. So, hey, listen, go ahead.
Only thing working on me and my fingers. That's all I got left. Now we got speech engine, so.
And we need good typists to get documents typed up and get together. So, again, everybody has value. We just have to seek that value out and understand that we can all play a very important part in reshaping and regrowing our union. And when I say growing our union, because the stronger our union is, see, and even though this is a clerk issue, the stronger our union is, I would have already been knocking on somebody's door. I'm sorry. When I got that word that somebody knew, management knew, and they possibly could have saved their life, I would have been knocking on somebody's door already. And that's not to say that they haven't. I'm not getting into that aspect. I'm just telling you what I would have done. Hey, but that's our time for tonight. Yeah, that's our time for tonight. But sister, I really appreciated talking with you. And you and I will definitely be in touch. Hey, but tell the folks down in Memphis that Mr. Hyde's got mad love for him. And I'm sure I'll pass
tell him
I'm
with.
All right.
Yep, I'm not even on the clock and find you some help. All right, brother.
All right, sister.
I will talk to you tomorrow. Okay.
All right, take care now. Good evening.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.